This episode of Road Dirt the Podcast is brought to you by Law Tigers Motorcycle Lawyers. You can find them at lawtigers.com. Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand covering what we like to call ride life. On this episode, we talk across the pond with an English gal named Vanessa Ruck, known online as the Girl on a Bike, an inspiring young lady with a passion for motorcycles and a rather compelling story of overcoming adversity. We got to chat the other day in a video chat. We'll also have it out on YouTube and a story, her story with photos at roaddirt.tv. You can check that out. But we wanted to play you the audio here of our conversation, and I knew she'd be a fascinating young lady to talk to. I didn't realize the extent of her story and the extent of her impact and influence positively in other people's lives now. So here we go with our discussion with Vanessa Ruck, the Girl on a Bike. Vanessa Ruck, welcome to Road Dirt.
Hello, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, we first found out about you on the LinkedIn platform of all places. A friend of mine named Robert Pandia read your story. I guess he subscribes to you out there. And he kind of put me onto it, and I thought, man, I would love to have a chat with you about your life, about some of your achievements. Speaking of achievements, you had a recent achievement that was quite an accomplishment. Could you start off telling us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a motorcycle rider, racer, and adventurer. And as part of that, racing is part of what I do. And I've just got back from the Morocco Desert Challenge, which is up there one of the toughest endurance races in the world. And it's an 8-day moving bivouac, road book navigation through the brutalities of North Africa up to about 2,500 kilometers across 8 days. And of the moto category, 40% of riders finished. And yeah, I'm very proud to have been one of those riders. The actual race took 2 lives this year. It's that kind of extreme in racing. And it was very difficult. It was tough. I managed to place 25th of 77 as well. So I'm really, really proud of that. But it was not smooth sailing. It was a very, very difficult event.
So that really is on par with, is it part of the same series as the Dakar Rally every year?
It's exactly the same style of riding. And arguably, it's a trickier navigation and sometimes more difficult terrain. However, it's only an 8-day race. The Dakar is 15 days.
That's right, yeah.
And so it's also not got all of the road. In the Dakar, you tend to do anywhere from 500-600 kilometers of road every day, whereas the Mocky Desert Challenge wants you to do the fun part. So you have super long off-road sections without the road, which is one of the reasons why I love that event. But wow, very similar.
Now, I've actually got your website pulled up. The last few days I've been reading up on you and your life, your adventures. Tell me about your upbringing. Where are you from? You've lived a rather adventurous life. I'm sure that started in childhood. You seem like you've been just kind of an adrenaline junkie, an extreme sports and activities that kind of lover your entire life, I guess, really.
Yeah, I was very lucky to have an incredibly outdoor childhood with my parents always telling me that boredom was of a lack of imagination to entertain yourself, go outside and climb some trees or play with some sticks. And I was incredibly active growing up, doing all kinds of sports that my parents could get me into, from rock climbing to boogie boarding and horse riding. Then when I went to university, that's where I really discovered that there was a whole world of more extreme sports, such as skydiving, wakeboarding, rock climbing, kite surfing. And then it's kind of developed from there. I'd say I've been very fit, addicted to the mental and physical pleasure of extreme sports for some time, but it obviously changed quite dramatically in 2014 when I had a pretty life-changing accident.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, that that was a rather life-changing event in your life. I can personally relate to that because after reading what happened to you, you know, that happened to me. I was hit by a motorist. I was on a motorcycle, not a bicycle, but I was hit by a motorist back in 2000. And I've had multiple surgeries and complications from that in the years since. So why don't you tell us your story about what happened and how it changed your life in that regard?
Yeah, so I was been in the office all day. It was a normal Tuesday. I got on my bicycle because I wasn't an active motorcycle rider at the time. Mm-hmm. The road home was something I did 5 days a week, every single week. It was about a 16-mile round trip. I got a mile down the road and a car coming the other way decided not to stop at their red light. And wow. Life was only changed. I had nowhere to go, went to straight to the side of the car. Now, the reality is that I wasn't a bleeding mess or anything like that. I went to hospital, got sent home with bruising. And if you fast forward 7 years, which was the bulk of my recovery, I've since had a reconstructed right shoulder and right hip. So bruising versus the actual reality of what happened to my body in that accident was quite a long way off and gives you a bit of an idea of the battle I was on to try and get back to ideally pain-free. I've had to readjust my expectations. I live and manage chronic pain now. And instead, making my goal of being able to get up and make the most of life, get rid of my excuses, adapt, shift, learn coping mechanisms for the pain and the home that I have, and get out there and try and be the best version of me that I can be, because I can't change my past. Now, the reality is that my physical recovery was brutal, to reconstructed body parts, but I'm very honest in the fact that the mental health recovery was actually worse. I got diagnosed with multiple mental health disorders in the aftermath, and it was most certainly a journey, a battle, a fight, some dark days. And now, what we're 9 years on, you know, I still have to live and manage my mental health, particularly with the pain that I have. Yeah. But I've learned quite a lot through that journey, that's for sure.
I think a lot of people can relate to that because, you know, when you go through something that's very traumatic in your life, you know, physically or otherwise, it sets you back mentally in a lot of ways too. There's a fear, there's an anxiety, there's a lot of things, you know, nightmares. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen when, you know, you find out, as we say here in the States, you're not 10 feet tall and bulletproof, you know? And, so I can relate to that. And I think a lot of other people can too. I got a glare. Let me get rid of some of my glare right there. There we go. Sun's shifting here. So your recovery has been long and arduous, but, really, what do you think the key to the recovery has been for you? I would think it'd be more of a mental state, wouldn't it?
I guess it's always down to belief that I can improve the situation that I'm in, and a really strong focus on not being a victim.
Right.
The accident happened. There was nothing I could do about it. I couldn't change it. Moping around, feeling sorry for myself, being angry at the driver wasn't going to do anything other than give me a miserable life. I needed to take control of what was in my control. What could I do to help the situation that I'm in and move myself forwards? What do I need to do to give my body the right nutrition, energy, love, exercises, rehab to be able to walk again?
It was attitude determined altitude, so to speak, right?
Attitude, yeah, absolutely. And mindset,
and really. You just had make that mental shift, really.
Yeah.
So, well, tell me about your entrance into motorcycling. To me, it seems like it's fairly recent, but kind of unexpected for somebody that's been through physically, mentally, emotionally, what you've been through with the accident as a result. And yet you find yourself a motorcyclist. You know, what attracted you to motorbikes?
It's been a series of stepping stones. It's not like I woke up 8 years ago and went, right, I want to be a motorcycle racer. Yeah, like it's been a journey of the way that life takes you on some unbelievable sort of roads and paths. And it started because I was no longer able to cycle to work. Physically, I was no longer able to do it, and I was struggling with traffic and parking and the time, etc. So I ended up getting a little bike to commute on. Now, bearing in mind that I'd been clinically diagnosed with fear of the road, getting on a motorcycle was not easy. It wasn't logical. Everything in my natural survival instincts was against it. Of course, my mum was against it. But I knew that I had to overcome that fear, because there was no way I was going to let the lady that hit me take away my body and control my life in that kind of way. And with any kind of fear, trauma, upset, it's possible to overcome it with time, like normalizing yourself and working on processes, mindfulness to deal with that. So it started with that bike. Now, what no one warned me is that motorbikes breed, and once you have one, you want another one. And then there's like different types of motorbikes. And suddenly, before you know it, like years have passed and you're now doing off-road riding, trails riding, adventure riding, you've got a cruiser. And I'm very much addicted to life on two wheels. The day that I decided to get my first off-road motorcycle is worth mentioning, though, because that definitely wasn't, you know, your typical step. I'm a big believer with the importance of goal setting in recovery. If you want to make changes to your life or make things happen, set some goals and focus on them. Set some big stretch goals and then smaller goals that will take you towards it. So you've got little wins and sense of achievements. So I was bedbound after my third surgery, which was the first on my hip.
Yeah.
And I came up with the idea that
different shoulder surgeries, right? They were both hip and shoulder.
Two on the shoulder, five on the hip.
Yeah.
And so I decided that I wanted to get my first off-road motorbike. And my husband's like, what? You can't even walk to the toilet on your own. And I'm like, I know. We went out and got me one. It was 5 months till I could even sit on it. Yeah. But it was there every day as a reminder.
That in the garage. You know, here's the goal.
We didn't have a garage then. It was sat in the dining room. Didn't have a garage.
In the dining room. That's great.
It really was sat there as a reminder of what I wanted to do. Yeah. I had those days where I hurt too much to even begin to try and find the energy to do my physio or, you know, look after my body or even respect my body, because I hated it. I was diagnosed with change disorder. I didn't even see myself as me. I talked about myself in the third person. And all those difficult days, that bike was a reminder of what I was working towards.
That's good.
So, that's where it kind of started. And then it's escalated.
Speaking of escalation, what's in your garage? Or in the house, in the living room, in the dining room? What bikes have you got right now?
Yeah, so thankfully we now have a big garage. That was a priority when we moved house. So I've got a trials bike, a hard enduro bike, a enduro cup rally bike, a full rally replica Dakar bike, a adventure bike, and a Harley Davidson cruiser. Plus my husband has a trials bike, an enduro bike, and then we've got a 1977 Greaves Challenger. A bit of heritage. So we've got a couple, but they all do different things. And I think the biggest learning I've had through my riding, bearing in mind I only started off-road riding about 7 years ago, and I've now done some of the toughest races out there: Red Bull Romaniacs, Tunisia and Morocco Desert Challenges, Rally du Maroc. I haven't been riding as long as most people think I have for the races that I've done. But what I have done is worked really hard on my skills and my foundations and putting the time in to try and improve my skill. And by riding lots of different types of bikes, it hugely helps your overall riding. Now, for example, Desert Rally last October, and Triumph challenged me to do it on a Tiger 900 Rally Pro. That is a full-size adventure bike in sand dunes in Morocco. It was brutal in rocky riverbeds, like hard enduro style. And if I hadn't done the training on a trials bike for the balance, the clutch control, the throttle, the smoothness, no way would I have been able to cope in those rocky riverbeds.
Right.
And so the cross disciplines have helped me lots in that kind of journey.
It really does. Dirt skills help on road, street skill. There are street skills that translate to the dirt. That really is true. What does time spent on a motorcycle mean for you?
Adrenaline.
In the sense that you've said it, I've read on your site, you know, just how therapeutic it is to you. Why don't you give me a thumbnail of that? What's it
so
mean?
I think I've tried to analyze why I enjoy it so much, particularly the extreme end of the racing. And I've realized that when I'm on a bike, I don't have the mental capacity for much else. I'm so focused on the terrain, the riding, what's going on under the wheels, the navigation, that my brain doesn't have time to focus on my pain or what's going on in life or what happened to me or how my pain is going to be tomorrow, all of those things. When I get off the bike, sure, it hits me like a freight train. But when I'm on that bike, it's escapism. And I'm not saying I want to escape my life. It's
I know what you mean, though. I think, yeah.
It's a distraction.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I feel so alive on a motorcycle.
I get that. And I think motorcycle riders get that as well, big time. So what do you hope to accomplish with The Girl on a Bike? I mean, it's more than just a website. It's more than just a, you know, some influencer social media pages. You're on a mission, really.
Yeah, my mission is to try and help other people who are battling the horrible monstrosities that life throw at us, because we all have challenges and battles, and help them learn from some of the things that I've gone through and learnt, and try and inspire people to realize that actually there is a way forwards. Get up, seize the day, get rid of your excuses, and go and make the most of every day. So it's all about trying to encourage and inspire other people to be the best version of themselves. And the whole time I'm able to do that through my channels, I will keep going as The Girl on a Bike. And whatever my pain level is, however I'm coping, if I can give other people energy through what's happened to me, it kind of somehow makes what I've gone through and I'm going through worthwhile somehow. Kind of makes sense in my head.
It does, indeed. There's a saying we have some use over here in the what we call the Deep South here in this part of the United States: dancing the skin the good Lord gave you, which means whatever your life circumstances, you know, just carry on, get up and keep moving. So, and hey, so I appreciate your time. I've enjoyed chatting with you. How can folks find out more about you, connect with you, what you do? What are some ways people can get with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go on any of the social media channels, so Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn, and search for Vanessa Ruck or The Girl on a Bike, you will find me. And my inbox is always open if anyone has any questions, just want to say hi. And that's how they can find me. You can see all of the random shenanigans and stuff that I get up to. I think my biggest mission with my platforms as well is to be real and honest. So don't expect to come to my channels and see, you know, perfectly refined, beautiful girl on a bike imagery and stuff. No, I'm a real human. I'm covered in sweat and mud. I cry. I have tough days. It's about being real, honest, and sharing the ups and the downs of life, because we all have battles and struggles.
We have a hashtag Road Dirt. Of course, people interpret that different ways and apply it. And our hashtag is Ride Life. And you are definitely yours is definitely a ride life story. So thank you for sharing it with us.
No worries. It's an honor to be able to join you.
Well, this is Rob and Vanessa with Road Dirt. Ride Life. We want to thank Vanessa for taking the time to chat with us, and want to thank you for listening in. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Road Dirt. Remember, you can also find us out on the web. Our main motorcycle media site is called roaddirt.tv. We have a YouTube channel that this video is going to be on soon as well, called Road Dirt TV. You can find us out there at Road Dirt TV on YouTube. Three social media channels: Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all of which are Road Dirt TV. It's fairly easy to remember. We have a Spotify music playlist, about 25 hours worth of music on there. That one's called Road Dirt Classics, and we hope you'll go check that out as well. And until next time, this is Rob with Road Dirt. Ride life.